Guys, Yesupui Yarvi is fine. Leave him alone. We'll get more into that and more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, hello. Welcome back to Locked On Oilers podcast. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday, even though there is snow outside, it seems. So sorry about that. On today's episode, we're going to talk about why Yesupui Yarvi needs a dang break, people. Give him a break. It's the Bison King, for freak's sakes. Give him a break. We'll get more into that. Plus, we're going to talk about the Philip Deneau effect. What has happened throughout the first four games? What has worked for the Kings? What has worked for the Oilers in regards to Philip Deneau and his how he's been deployed, against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? We'll talk a little bit more about that. And we will get into the three things the Oilers need to do to have a success in game five. We will get to all of that today. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Oilers, and thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast, and we're on YouTube. Hello, YouTube. I'm waving at the camera if you're listening, but hello, YouTube. Today, let's get started with the Philip Deneau deployment, as I know we did tease a little bit about Puli Arvi, and that will be coming up in the second sector of today's show. But first, we are going to start off with Philip Deneau versus Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. It was kind of the storyline heading into game one and kind of the whole series. Everybody kind of wondered just how Deneau, just how effective Deneau would be, and if Deneau would be deployed as often as people thought. Well, he has. Spoiler alert. He has been deployed quite a bit against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But looking through the first four games, it seems like Philip Deneau has mostly been setting his sights on Leon Draisaitl. Leon Draisaitl has been the guy that Philip Deneau has played the most amount of times against in game one. He played about 13 minutes against him in game two, again, about 13 minutes or greater than 13 minutes. This is all from hockeyviz.com and how HockeyViz does it. They break down how each player, how much time each player plays against each player, essentially. So how much time Connor McDavid plays against Philip Deneau, Ollie Matta plays against Yesupui Yarvi. They time that out. They see how many shots each team gets and how much they would average over 60 minutes. So with that being said, between games one and four, like I already said, Draisaitl played about 13 minutes against Deneau. And in game two, he played about or more than 13 minutes against Deneau. In game three, he played less than or about 7 minutes, probably less than 7 minutes against Leon Draisaitl. And in game four, he played greater than 14 minutes against Leon Draisaitl. When you take a look at those times and see just what happened in those games, it makes sense, the deployment of how Philip Deneau was playing against Leon Draisaitl. In game one, obviously, the Kings won 4-3 at home ice or on home ice for the Oilers. It was a tough game for the Oilers, as they mentioned just how difficult it was to get behind or to actually, since they fell behind in the game, to actually get back into the game with the crowd, the jitteriness. That is probably subsided five games in, I would hope at least. So that doesn't necessarily seem to be a factor. Now, there are a lot of factors into game one with Philip Deneau playing against Leon Draisaitl. Obviously, Leon Draisaitl did score and was a pest in game one. So it was a little bit of did he or didn't he make a difference in game one? And then when you take a look at how he was deployed in game two and in game three, you kind of understand how important Deneau is on Leon and Connor. In game two, obviously, as everybody knows, it was a 6-0 shutout for the Oilers in game two on home ice. And in that game, Philip Deneau played over 13 minutes against Leon Draisaitl. He was very effective. At least he was always playing against him. Leon Draisaitl didn't exactly get on the score sheet too much in that game. He did get a goal in game two, however, and did actually tie his playoff best from last playoff with two goals. But the Oilers won 6-0. So with Philip Deneau being so focused on Leon Draisaitl, he played less than 10 minutes on Connor McDavid, as we all know what happened in game six. As we've already mentioned, the Oilers got out of hand. It was 6-0. And that continued on into game three when the Oilers won 8-2. Less than 7 minutes Philip Deneau played on Leon Draisaitl. Less than seven. And that game was 8-2 for the Edmonton Oilers, as the Oilers just went to town on the LA Kings. They had practice on what so many people, and I'm not going to put myself into that category, because I don't think the LA Kings are a glorified AHL team. I don't think that. But in a playoff game, when you lose 8-2, you're going to have a lot of questions around you and wonder if you were covering the right guys. Well, spoiler alert again, Leon Draisaitl wasn't getting covered by Philip Deneau, and the Oilers went to town. In that game, Connor McDavid, however, got the Philip Deneau treatment, where he played about 13 minutes, with Philip Deneau on the ice. But with that, the Oilers ended up having more than 75% of the shots when Connor McDavid and Philip Deneau were on the ice together. 75% of the shots while they were on the ice together, Edmonton had. You can't stop everything. Just ask Jonathan Quick in game three. The guy got pulled. As we had said in game on the Friday before game three and four, you make him uncomfortable, you get those shots, and look what happens. You win 8-2. And Philip Deneau, who is supposed to be your most effective shutdown forward, is nowhere to be seen. He played 13 minutes against the league's best player, the world's best player, and did nothing. The Oilers still got 75% of the shots while Connor McDavid and Philip Deneau were on the ice in game three. That is a lot. However, the plan changed in game four, and that was obvious. Obviously, the Kings won 4-0, and the Oilers looked kind of lost with their physicality and everything else that we can talk about, as we did yesterday. But Philip Deneau in game four played more than 13 minutes on Leon Draisaitl and less than seven on Connor McDavid. They changed the deployment. They thought in game three, you know what? We have the advantage. We have last change. Let's have Philip Deneau on Connor McDavid. It obviously didn't work in game two. It had worked in game one, but it hadn't worked in game two. So let's try it out in game three. Well, it didn't work. So in game four, they changed it up again, went back to the old ways, and put Draisaitl on Philip Deneau again. And look what happened. You got under the skin of Leon Draisaitl. You got under the skin of Connor McDavid by letting him play the Mikey Andersons, the Blake Lizotte, the Brendan Lemieux. Instead of worrying about, oh, well, Philip Deneau's on the ice. I might as well give the puck to somebody else, or might as well go change. He has been an issue for the Oilers when the Kings need him. When the Kings are in the close games, in the games that the Kings are winning hockey games, Philip Deneau has been an issue. But it's only when LA is winning the hockey game. That has been the only time Philip Deneau has been effective in this series, and that is when the LA Kings are up in the game. He ended up scoring the game winner in game one. He did get the lucky bounce off of his stomach, as he deserved, as he shut down the Oilers and Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid in game one. But that was the most that we saw out of him since, at least on the score sheet. Then in game four, he was quite effective. The Kings win 4-0. And now we've got an even series. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you got to make sure that Philip Deneau is not on the ice in a time of possession, in the time of the LA Kings running the game, or the Oilers are in trouble. The Oilers have last change in game five. We will see how the Oilers deploy, as I almost dropped my entire setup, how the Oilers will deploy Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl with last change against Philip Deneau in game five. But we will also see how the Oilers deploy Jesse Puljujärvi, as so many people have gotten on his case. I am sick and absolutely tired of people getting on Jesse Puljujärvi's case. So we will take a look at just what makes Jesse Puljujärvi so dang effective, even though he's not always on the score sheet, in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sporting information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NHL hockey playoffs, baby. Let's go. Major League Baseball has been in full swing, as my fantasy team has also been taking a hit a little bit, but that's okay. We're talking about Bet Online, damn it. Plus fights and even next season's NLF futures. They've got everything at BetOnline. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and much more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. I know you're on your phone right now. I know you are. Go and check those lines while you're listening to the podcast or watching the podcast on YouTube. You got it. You get the picture in picture. You can do it, I promise. Anyways, let's head over to the Big Fin. Stay swomy, baby. I love the Finns. I love Jesse Puljujärvi. And I will defend this man to the day I die. I think Jesse Puljujärvi is one of the most underappreciated underneath, or just above, excuse me, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I think that man is the most underappreciated first overall pick of all time, but that is for the offseason. So we will talk into that in the offseason. But yes, Puljujärvi has been getting a little bit of hate, a little bit of heat recently in regards to his play. If you're an Oilers fan, or at least a part of Oilers Twitter, or have seen a little bit of Oilers media, you would know just how much Puljujärvi really gets thrown into the fire. And it's unfair. It is completely unfair for what Jesse Puljujärvi has to go through. Every single time this kid comes back and plays his heart out for the Edmonton Oilers, Oilers fans, or at least the small amount of Oilers fans, I should say, and the media just absolutely rip this kid's heart out. I don't get it. It is unfair. We have said so many times through the last season, since Jay Woodcroft came in, since Dave Tippett left, Jesse Puljujärvi has been the most consistent Edmonton Oiler the entire season. And that doesn't just mean on the score sheet. I understand why people want Jesse Puljujärvi to be scoring goals all the time, because when he was growing up, he was playing next to Sebastian Aho and Patrick Laine, and he just found the puck next to the net and would score a lot. Understood, as he should have. He's playing next to Connor McDavid, and every once in a while, he'll get the bank pass from back door and make it a 5-2 hockey game. Sometimes he will. Sometimes he won't. That is the type of player that he is. He goes out there and does the right things all the time. Sometimes it seems like, oh, why are you slamming it around the boards. You were going to have a 3-on-2 the other way. Well, you have a tired Connor McDavid and Evander Kane. Get off the ice, go get the next guys, and try it all again. This man is a smart hockey player, and I'm tired of people saying that he's not. We mentioned throughout the season how often he was on the ice for a goal against, and it wasn't very. It wasn't very at all. In fact, it was less than anybody else on the team. Anybody. Name somebody. It was less than them. Darnell Nurse, less than him. Cody Ceci, less than him. Connor McDavid, less than him. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, less than him. The guy who has allowed the least amount of goals for the Edmonton Oilers on the ice through 60 minutes all season has been Jesse Puljujärvi. Less than 2 goals per game does this man allow while he's on the ice per 60 minutes. Now, since the playoffs have started, he is sitting about around the middle of the table. But that is because since playoffs started, he has played, let me get my trusty notes out here, 45 minutes and 6 seconds. That is less time than anybody on the team except for Ryan McLeod, Warren Fogle, and Zach Cassian. We talked yesterday about how little time Zach Cassian, who got 7 minutes in game 4, and Warren Fogle, who got 6 minutes in game 4, how little they were played. How about Jesse Puljujärvi, who's playing on the first line for the Oilers? The guy's not on the power play, which he should be, and I am very adamant on the fact that he should be. He doesn't play on the penalty kill, so he's not going to be getting all of these awful penalty kill time. So what are you expecting from this guy? When he is on the ice, however, he is 4th on the team when it comes to goals for per 60 minutes these playoffs. That is ahead of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He has 5.48 goals for per 60 minutes. Excuse me? More than 2 of the best players in the world in a playoff series, and we're complaining? I'm flabbergasted. I am disgusted. The guy leads the team in shots 4 per 60 minutes with 57.62. I just don't know how else to get this through to people. The guy is effective. The guy does his job. He goes out there, gets the puck to Connor McDavid, and sits there and waits for him to play his magic. What else is he supposed to do? He goes out in the corners and fights for the puck, lays out the body. Yes, we wish that he did hit more in these 4 games. He only has 4 hits. So we wish that he had a couple more hits. That's fair. That is a fair gripe to have on him. He's a big body. As he should be. I am getting sweaty again. My glasses are off. The gloves are off. Jesse Puljujärvi needs to be a guy that Oilers fans and Oilers media realize is imperative to this team's success. You don't need to be going out there and scoring 30 goals every season because you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl doing it for you. Just go out there, get in the dirty areas, and get the pucks to those guys, and they'll worry about the rest. I don't get it. He has a goal, an assist, 2 points, and plus 2 in a series that has been full of goals both ways. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. I am sick and tired of how Oilers fans and Oilers media treat Jesse Puljujärvi. And it is time for people to realize how important Jesse Puljujärvi is. That is where I'm going to end it on my Puljujärvi rant. So I feel it in my tummy. It's a sweaty day, even though it's snowing out. I'm heated already. I am heated and ready for this game five. So let's take a look at what the Oilers need to do. The three keys, as I reach over and grab my notes, the three keys to success for the Edmonton Oilers in game five. Obviously, the Oilers are playing at home. Isn't it wonderful to be home? Oh, so nice to be home. And hey, I love Los Angeles. Los Angeles is my second home, as a couple days ago I was wearing an LA Dodgers shirt. So sorry for that. In fact, I think I got this shirt in LA too. So the more you know, shout out LA. But it is nice to have the Oilers back in Edmonton. It is nice for the Oilers to be back in Edmonton, I am sure, and be home. But what do they need to do to make sure that this trip home is a successful one so they can try and wrap it up on Thursday back in Los Angeles? The city of brotherly love. Is that what they call it? No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding, people. Calm down. Okay. The first thing that the Oilers need to do to make sure that they have success in Game 5 is, please, for the love of God, stay out of the penalty box. Please stay out of the penalty box. I'm tired of these penalties. I'm tired of 4-on-4, as we've seen in the Dallas Kings series, or the Dallas Flames series, excuse me. There's been a lot of 4-on-4. There's been a lot of 4-on-4 in the Oilers Kings. There's been a lot of special teams time for the Oilers, as we talked about a lot, just the success that the Oilers have been able to have on the penalty kill. And before game four, the Oilers have had tons of success against the LA Kings on the penalty kill. But that came to an end in game four, as they came alive. They gave the Kings so many chances on the power play, and it cost them. It cost the Oilers. It genuinely cost the Oilers, and the Oilers cannot have that. They cannot have that. We talked about the early energy penalty by Kyler Yamamoto in game one. Kind of sucked the life out of the crowd early. That is not what the Oilers need. In fact, my second key to success in game two for the Edmonton Oilers is, let's feed off the crowd tonight, please. Edmonton is one of, if not the best playoff cities in Canada. We have playoff hockey right now. Let's go show the reason why we love playoff hockey. Let's show the reason why Edmontonians are Oilers fans. If the Oilers are able to build off the noise the Oilers fans make, as they mentioned in game one, they were loud. They were loud and they could hear it and they wanted to hear it. But they got off to a tough start. It was a jittery start, and they just could not get back into the game since. That was the issue. The fans were great. Fans, keep doing you. You get loud, you be proud, and keep making noise for the Oilers in the playoffs. Great job. But the Oilers need to figure out how to tame those noises, tame in their head, to calm themselves down. Go and make the right play. If you go and make the right play, if you go and hit a body, that's the thing. They're going to have to bang bodies in game five because they got mauled in game four. They got out. While we did talk about how the Oilers did out hit the LA Kings, they got out gritted in game four. The Oilers need to out hit, out physicality eyes, out physical. Out physicality. They need to hit. They need to be gritty. They need to be ugly. And that is how they're going to win the game. And the crowd is going to be into it. So the second key to the game is keep the crowd in the game. And the third and final key to success for the Edmonton Oilers in game five is, please score a goal first. Please score the first goal. Please. That's all we ask. That is all we're asking. Because if you don't score the first goal, whoever scores the first goal in this series has gone on to win the game. So Edmonton and Zach Hyman, because I'm looking at you, because on Bet Online, I took a look at who will score the first goal for the Edmonton Oilers, and I definitely did not take Zach Hyman, wink, wink, nod, nod. I didn't take Zach Kassian, so don't put your money on him. Please, please, for the love of God, score the first goal. Please, let's get the crowd into the game. Let's make Jonathan Quick uncomfortable. And please stay out of the penalty box. Let's make this a 5-on-5 game. Heck, if the Kings are in the penalty box, even freaking better. Even better. I don't know what is happening with my voice today because I sound like David Schwimmer. Or what's his name? Who had the show? Seinfeld. I sound like Jerry Seinfeld. So I'm sorry for how my voice sounded today, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Locked On Oilers podcast. It has been a fun little Tuesday, hasn't it? Even though we do have snow on the ground. I hope everybody enjoys game 5 tonight at 8 p.m. Game 6 will go on Thursday at 8 p.m. as well in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. For your next listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL from the first round matchups to each and every single little kiss on the Stanley Cup. Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast, and it's on YouTube. And if you are on YouTube watching this one right now, you may have noticed I've been sinking back a little bit. So let me, there we go. Let me fix the mic. There we go. I am so thankful for everybody being able to join us today on this Tuesday. We shall see you tomorrow on Wednesday. Happy Tuesday. Happy game day. Let's go, Oilers, and have a great day, Oil Country. Stay safe.